podcasters in. Charles, you do a great job with that. Everybody tell Charles how much we appreciate his faithfulness. Charles lives, he lives out where a lot of y'all live, so it's he's very faithful to be here. And I think you have to leave early today, but he's got his bases covered. We ready? We want to welcome all the podcast people to Metron Live, coming to you live, hence the name, from Metron in beautiful, historic Midtown Atlanta, my favorite acreage on the earth. Metron people, would you please welcome the podcast people. Podcasters, hello. Podcast people are so cool. You're so techno savvy. You know what's going on with the podcast. I'm this month teaching on, what am I teaching on? Free your mind. Free your mind and the rest will follow. Healthy thinking and prospering as your soul prospers. Second part there comes from 3 John 2. The reason we just call it 3 John 2 is because 3 John only has one chapter in it. The Apostle John, the Gospel of John is attributed to him. The book of Revelation is attributed to him. And also he wrote 3 epistles, just like Paul and Peter did. And of all of the Bible writers, John's writing seems to be the one with the least dispute. There's a lot of things that other people wrote that we're not really sure of authorship, but John was, there's a kind of way that he wrote that really sounds very much like him, and it's easy to connect the dots with him. And in this third epistle, John was a bishop, an overseer of several churches, and this is a third epistle that he writes. He actually writes it to a person called the elect lady, but it's for the reading of everybody there. Like sometimes Paul would write something that's to an individual. Luke wrote the book of Acts to someone named Theophilus. But what's interesting about this letter is in his salutation, he says something that in a sort of off-the-cuff way really gives us an insight into how health works. Because he says, King James is what we're most familiar with. He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, depending on how much you really listen, and not everybody listens. I was talking before we started today. We were listening to Yacht Rock Radio yesterday on the way back from Florida, which is mostly 70s stuff. And I was listening to the song Pina Colada it was popular when I was in high school, so I'm sure I've heard it for 40 years. I never paid attention to what it was about. I knew it was something about somebody putting an ad in the personals. I didn't realize it was about a guy trying to cheat on his, I guess, girlfriend, his lady, and he's answering a personal column because they find in this stuff that they have in common that he doesn't have in common with her. So he goes to meet, I know you all knew this. I never knew it. I just like, if you like pina colada, I guess the pina colada part distracted me. And I was like, I'd be like, that sounds good right now. I never got past the tagline. But he actually goes to meet this person, and come to find out it is his lady who is also sending out that message. So in the lyric, he says, I had no idea you like pina colada. In other words, it's not really a cheating song. It's a song about knowing who your significant other really is. And I'm listening to it. I thought I've never even realized that's what that song's about. And I'm sure I've heard it for four decades. No wonder people could listen to Jesus talk and have no idea what he's talking about. I know for sure people have listened to me and have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of the feedback I've gotten from sermons or even stuff I post on Facebook, I think, wow, that's not at all what I was talking about, but okay, if that's what you gleaned out of it. One of the scriptures that used to really frustrate me is Jesus dying on the cross, and he speaks in Aramaic, Eli, Eli, namak sabachthani, and the people say, why is he calling for Elijah? Why is it? And I thought, wow, really, in his dying moment, you can't just have one moment of clarity that you finally got what he's talking about? I mean, as he's dying, you're like, I don't know why he's calling Elijah. You idiots. He's not calling Elijah. Eli is an Aramaic word. It means my God. Maybe he was saying, my God, why are these people so stupid? For people who really listen and notice and are observant, you hear a phrase like that, you prosper and are in health. First of all, it's the connection of health and prosperity. But it's also, there's a little revelation in there. It's as your soul prospers, or in direct proportion to the prosperity of your soul, which is what so many of these modern teachers have tapped into. It's like your physical body is a really a direct reflection of what's going on with your spiritual body. Joe Dispenza, he says your body is your mind, that at a certain point, your body becomes the manifestation of your mind. You literally see your thoughts manifested in your physicality. And, you know, we've taught that and taught all around it for years. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, all those scriptures. But I did want to look at this, and as I always tell you, the Jonathan Mitchell New Testament is extremely wordy. It's not good for public reading, but it's excellent for study. And his interpretation, or it's not really interpretation, it's more of an exegesis on this verse. He says, "O beloved one, I am continuously having or thinking and speaking goodness, ease, and well-being, or wishing and professing loudly or claiming concerning all things, for you to be constantly having a prosperous journey, to progressively travel a good path, to habitually be prospered unto success, to be continuously helped along the way, and to be constantly sound and healthy in mind, thought, and body, just as or to the same degree as your soul or your inner being or your life is progressively being prospered on its journey or helped along the way or prospered unto success or caused to travel the good path." Now, I love words, so this is my cup of tea right here, because he uses words like progressively or in direct proportion to. Those words are very important. Healing doesn't always come instantaneously. I can tell you this, for the last 2 days, I've been hobbling around on whatever I did to some tendon in my foot. Now, I'm not saying it's completely gone, but just me standing here and talking, being here, it's the first time I've actually, that's my full weight pressure on there. I couldn't, an hour ago, I was like, oh my God, I couldn't even, just even pulling this soft shoe on was painful. Now, I'm not saying it's completely gone. I'm saying there is progression that happens, and it's being in the atmosphere and the laughter and people you love or whatever, and getting your mind off of it. That's one thing I want to tell people who just talk constantly about what's wrong with them. I just want to say, you have to stop it. You're locked in perpetual motion. Like, tell me what's wrong with you and then shut up about it. Because it's not that I'm just being impatient with you. It's that you're what did I post the other day? It was a Deepak Chopra quote. He says, every cell of your body is eavesdropping on your thoughts. And so every word that comes out of your mouth is just constantly feeding, it's downloading information into the cells of your body. And you don't see it happen immediately. It's like planting a seed. You don't say something and it immediately manifests. But your cells, your internal world, your cells, and the out everything outside your body, the universe, is benign. It's like it has no, like if you tell your cells to die, your cells aren't going to argue with you. Your cells would just be obedient. Your cells would be, if they could speak, they would be saying, well, the order from Command Central is we're supposed to be shutting down. So the disease starts getting ready to take you out. Again, if I can use the phrase full circle again, I've gone all around and around with this concept, because back in the faith message days, we got so legalistic about it, nobody could communicate with each other. You couldn't say anything because we watched our words so much. And now I've kind of come back to it, only now I'm even more extreme. Like, I'm not telling you what to say, but I don't want to say anything that's going to send a bad message, a negative message to the cells of my body. I just don't want to. Another quote I posted yesterday was, the words you speak become the house you live in. And somebody, if you're streaming, don't be offended that I'm saying this. Late last night, somebody said, I like all these quotes you're posting, but I'd really rather hear your original thoughts. And at the time, I wanted to say, here's an original thought. Why don't you stop telling me what to do? But I thought, no, that sounds, I get what you're saying, and don't ever tell me what to do again. Because it's bogus. I was with, a lot of Ken's nephews and nieces, they smoke, so I've been with them all week. So as we were leaving yesterday, I said, can I just say something to you? I said, I really wish y'all would stop smoking. I said, I deal with it with Jared, and I see some of the manifestations in his body. And then they said, okay. And then as I'm driving back, I thought, that's none of my business. Why did I even say, first, let me tell you something about telling smokers they should stop smoking. It doesn't make them stop. It makes them double down and get defensive. So on the way back, I said, you know what? That was none of my business. I'm just being a dad, and I care about you, but I shouldn't have even said anything. Apologies, whatever. And of course they were like, oh, it doesn't matter. We know we need to quit, whatever. But it's just, I thought, why? I don't want to be controlled, and I don't want to try to control anybody. Do you know what I mean? So I'm like, light up. That's your business. That's your body. I don't want to smell it, but those are your lungs. I shouldn't have an opinion about it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want you to bring it. You can't smoke in here, but in your world, that's your world. And because I don't want you telling me what to do. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. How did Christianity become this thing where everybody's trying to tell everybody what to do constantly? Like, where did that come? That didn't even come from Jesus. Yes. We'll raise the awareness. Yes. What Joanna just said, you're right. What she just said is sometimes coming back and apologizing about it actually makes the point. It's like you were able to plant the seed and then take the emotion out of it. Because I had no ill will to that. I'm looking at these young, pretty girls. I'm like, why are you smoking? Because that's the world they came from. You know, I mean, that's that world. And, but yes, you're right. You're right. 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 Yes. Yes. It's just caring. And it also depends on your relationship. Like a couple of people this week had asked me, did you see this, some homophobic thing that Franklin Graham had said a while back? And so I just posted. I wasn't even an angry post. I was sitting out on the beach, we're under a tent and I'm posting stuff. And I said, don't ask me if I saw the thing. Franklin Graham's irrelevant to me. I don't even care. I have nothing else to say about homophobia. I've said my piece in my book, whatever. And I said, I'm boring myself even talking about it. I'll probably even delete this post. And Zach, if he's watching, he texted, he said, yes, Bishop, delete it. Stay in the flow that you're in. And you know what? He can say that to me because of the relationship we have. And I wrote back to him. I said, be it done unto me according to your word. Because I looked at it, I thought, you know what? It's right. I don't even want Franklin Graham's name on my page. So why even have that? Because it's going to start this whole conversation that I don't even want to have now anyway. I don't care. I know people, Bible thumpers are homophobes. That's nothing new. Why would that be a surprise? Somebody says something to you that they've said over and over again, why would you be shocked? Of course that's what they say. What is it like the joke about the frog that gets on the alligator's back and he says, I'm gonna ride across the river, but don't eat me. And then the alligator turns around and starts eating him. He said, you said you weren't good. He said, I'm an alligator. Like, in other words, that's what I do. What did you think? Well, one guy yesterday did correct. He wanted to argue about a quote that I'd put on, and then he said, "Now I feel better." And all I said was, "Well, I'm glad you feel better." Like, person that I don't know, I'm like, delete. I tell you, one of my favorite words, delete. Boom. It's like, I just feel stress coming out of me when I go, and delete. Cleansing breath. I do. It's one of the best words. People say, what's one of your favorite words? Delete. I like it nearly as much as block. Anyway, I've made the point here. The point is, healing is progressive. Don't get yourself locked into. I'm not telling you to be in denial of disease or sickness. I'm not telling you to not pay attention to your doctors. I'm saying if you do a treatment, have to do something, whatever, do it with a certain thing in mind. Like, yes, I understand what the doctor is saying, but I'm going to get past this. I'm going through it with, you know, the last little dregs of my blood pressure issues. It's like, all right, I'll do what the doctor says, but I'm not giving up till I walk in there and he says, you don't have to take this anymore. That is the goal. Because I sat there and argued with him for an hour last time I was in there. And he said, it's fine. He said, I can't tell you what to do. I'm telling you, you're not there yet. And I said, well, at least you said yet. Because I don't want somebody to say, you got to take this for the rest of your life. No, don't tell me that. Tell me this is a season I'm going through, and this too shall pass, and I shall get to the other side. Doc, you know some stuff, but you don't know a thing. Practicing medicine. So cooperate with your doctor, but don't let your doctor become the end-all, be-all. It's like, well, I'm going to have to believe them enough to do what they say, or otherwise they're no good to me, but I've also got to keep it in. And also, while I'm on the subject, Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. If you go to your doctor and tell them what a nutritionist said, they're going to debunk that because they swim in a different stream. It's not even that they're bad people, I don't think all doctors are just in it for the money. I'm just saying that's the world they live in, so they're going to prescribe something to you. If you go to a nutritionist, they're going to tell you generally that all doctors are quacks and they're just trying to make money off of you. You got to find, like, wherever you are. If you're in the health food store, talk their language. If you go to the doctor, talk his language. Don't quote them to one another because never the twain shall meet. So if the doctor says something that's different from what your nutritionist said, just go, I hear you, and then do what you're going to do. But I'm telling you, there's no point. I wish people would get this. Democrats are wasting too much time arguing with Republicans, and Republicans are wasting too much time arguing with Democrats. Y'all are all just saying the same thing, and you're not changing anybody's mind. You're just, if it makes you feel better to vent, fine, but if you're trying to evangelize the other side, it ain't working. And I know because I'm on a side. I know when somebody posts something I disagree with, I'm like, and I'm unfollowing you. I'm not interested to hear what you saw on the news because I already have a preconceived. Bishop, you're not open-minded enough. I know. That's why I stay out of that lane. Because I'm not open-minded. I don't think the other side is correct. So there's no point in me getting on there and just adding to my thing and them doubling down because they don't think I'm correct. Find things you agree on. Do we all love America? Yes. Well, then, yay, God bless America. And we might not even show our love the same way. So however you express your patriotism, namaste. Oh, you're going to be so much happier and live so much longer if you just stop telling people to smoke. No, stop smoking. And just live and let live like, who was that? Oh, yeah, Jesus. They that are not against us are for us. Woo, don't you know that bothered? Jesus just did not do that click thing. pagan worshiping Roman centurion who's got a boyfriend comes to him, says, speak a word only, and he'll be healed. Jesus says, greatest faith I've seen in all of Israel. Don't you know that tick those guys are? You, excuse me? The greatest faith in all Israel? I think some of us might have dropped everything we were doing to follow you. And really, the pagan worshiping gay man is the greatest faith you found in all of Israel? Seriously, Jesus? Jesus, what are you gonna do? very few people have actually. Just when you think he's gonna take your side, he says the most irritating thing. Like, and this is off subject, but you know, at the end of Peter and John, so competitive with each other, and at the end of John, Jesus just gives this horrible prophecy to Peter, and he says, in your old age, somebody's gonna have to come. I think he says he's gonna be blind, and somebody's gonna have to come and lead you by the hand. And instead of Peter saying, please don't put that on me, his first thought is, what about John? And Jesus says, well, if I tell him to stay until I come back, what business is that is yours? Woo! Don't you know John was behind Jesus' back going, like, why don't you put a mojo prophecy on him? Like that, Jesus don't play that. You better just mind your own business if you want Jesus to give you the right answer. What Peter should have said is, I will do everything in my power to see that doesn't come to pass. It's good I wasn't one of the original disciples, because I'm much too literal and too sarcastic to have been a good original disciple. I need to be several generations removed. All right, back to the subject. I'm actually not talking that much today. Believe it or not, I've already talked a lot. I like this quote here. It says, everything changes as you move through three stages of awareness. First, that beliefs are the result of conditions. Second, that beliefs are the cause of conditions. And third, that beliefs are themselves conditions. I really meditated on this a lot because I liked it and it vibrated in me. But I think, do I believe that? And I thought, yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. This is good, because he's really talking what I've told you about next level, but kind of being in threes. First of all is, I am this way because of my conditions. Then second is, my conditions are this way because of my belief. And then the third thing is like, wow, beliefs are themselves conditions. That's a very ponderable thought. That's exaltation of the power of thought. Words are powerful. Thoughts are even more powerful. As creative as words are, thoughts are even a bigger deal. Sometimes thoughts are manifested in words. Not always. This week I love they show it in syndication now, King of Queens. Such a funny sitcom. I love the way it's written. And there was an episode I watched this week where they wanted their best friends to buy the house next to them. And the couple, their friends didn't want to move. Y'all know the show I'm talking about. One of them thought that the couple told him, but like the guy told the guy, well, we don't want to move in because my wife doesn't like your wife. And then the wife told the same thing. So they're having dinner together, the main couple, and they're both thinking, well, I wanted them to move in, but it's your fault they didn't move in. And what was funny about it is they're so mad at each other, and I think most married people would be able to relate to this, because these irrational thoughts you can have. And they're saying sweet things to each other, but you can hear their thoughts. And she says, She says, "Honey, would you like some more mashed potatoes?" He said, "Yes," because he's a big guy. "Yes, I would." So as she's dipping, you hear her thoughts go, "Pig." And then he's looking at her and goes, "Thank you very much." And his thought goes, "I hate her face." And then come to find out it wasn't that at all. It was, I think it was both of them. Anyway, it's nothing to do with my subject. Well, it kind of does, yeah, because what it's saying is words are important. I got two more quick things, and then we'll meditate. Dr. Dispenza says this: psychologists tell us by the time we're in our mid-30s, our identity or personality will be completely formed. This means that for those of us over 35, we have memorized a select set of behaviors, attitudes, beliefs, emotional reactions, habits, skills, associative memories, conditioned responses, and perceptions that are now subconsciously programmed within us. Those programs are running us because the body has become the mind. This means that we will think the same thoughts, feel the same feelings, react in identical ways, behave in the same manner, believe the same dogmas, and perceive reality the same ways. About 95% of who we are by midlife is a series of subconscious programs that have become automatic. Driving a car, brushing our teeth. I mean, don't you do that? Sometimes I'll do this. Sometimes I'll take a pill and then later I think, did I take that already? Was that yesterday? Or like if it's a place that I go to frequently, I forget where my car is. If I'd just been there one time, I wouldn't, but I'm walking out and I think, was that when I was here day before yesterday? Anyway, it just shows you how many things you do automatically without even thinking about it. Brushing our teeth, overeating when we're stressed, worrying about our future, judging our friends, complaining about our lives, blaming our parents, not believing in ourselves, and insisting on being chronically unhappy, just to name a few. I was thinking about this morning. What were we just talking? We were talking about something this morning that we like that they've discontinued. And I said, why does everything good go away? What were we talking about? It was something. It's a store we both like to shop at that they've closed. And I said, I can't believe they're closing that store. And I said, why does everything good go away? Because we've kind of had this series, like, there was a place we liked in New York that had this one specialty drink that it was like our favorite thing in New York. They've discontinued it. Or I really liked to go to Zaxby's because they had fried pickles. That was my favorite thing. They've discontinued. And it's just like a series of things like, this is what I came to this place for, and now you don't have it anymore. And now this store that I like, they don't have that anymore. And you know what occurred to me? I thought, you know what? I've talked so much about being next level that everything, all my comfort zone stuff gets challenged, and I have to go ahead and start liking new stuff. It's like my own teaching won't let me get set in my ways because I've gotten used to, well, you know, this is where I go to get this. This is where I go to get this. Not me. Like, it used to be I would have it because I like it. Now I'm not having it because I like it, because it's like the universe is saying, no, there's more stuff out there. You got to, you know, get out of that tent and look up and count the stars if you can. I mean, you become you get tested in everything that you teach. And, Abram had to get out of that tent. And the thing is, the tent's nice and cozy. Sometimes I don't want to get out of the tent. Like, no, this is the way I like it. I mean, I could tell you this, those of you on the board, let me tell you, I guess we're going to have a board meeting. Let me go ahead and tell you what we're going to talk about. I'll let you all in on it. There's no big secret. But I can tell I'm in a holding pattern with this because I love it, but it's supposed to be more, and I don't know what that is yet. And it's just like, well, I'm being faithful with what my hand finds to do, but there's something else. I'm not saying I'm leaving Metron. I'm just saying it's about to be another incarnation, and I don't know what that is yet. And so I'm just like, well, I show up every week and do what I'm supposed to do, but there's a lot of things. I mean, when you're really happy, there's a lot of things that you like. Do you know what I mean? It's like, well, I'd be fine with that. And it can nearly make you too ambiguous about what you really want. I mean, that is the kind of the downside to contentment. It's like, well, there's not really a fire under me because I'm very happy with, you know, So I'm just, and I'm not asking you for an answer. I'm saying I'm counting the stars, and man, there's a lot of them. You look, he says, go out and count the stars if you can. You don't count the stars in one night. And then finally, I want to kind of segue into meditation and why I'm teaching this. And I feel like what we're doing Sundays in this month are leading up to St. Simon's. I'm not saying St. Simon's is going to be the end-all, be-all, but it's going to be the next progression. Something's coming. It says, as gold purified in a furnace loses its impurity and achieves its own true nature, the mind gets rid of the impurities of the attributes of delusion, attachment, and purity through meditation and attains reality. I don't know how to explain that to you. I can just tell you there's something about intentionally being detached from your thoughts for an extended period of time that your subconscious mind really needs. It's like your subconscious, it's like your conscious mind is yelling at your subconscious constantly. I'm just getting ready for meditation. Your conscious mind, it's like it's drowning out your subconscious. Do you know what I mean? It's like your thoughts are so dominant that you can't even get in touch sometimes with what's the real reality is. That's why quietness is very important. And when I say quietness, I'm not just talking about not talking. I'm talking about intentional quietness. Like be silent and focused. Focused on what? Focused on breathing and being receptive. You go ahead and start taking the lights down. The big argument that Christians used to have with meditation, I used to hear people say, well, it's not good for you to be passive because you could open yourself up to negative forces or whatever. I think, wow, that's such a paranoid way to think. And really, do you think you really are nearly like a devil worshiper? If you really think demons are that omnipresent, you don't realize it's your own fear. Like when I see people who are still in devil world, I just marvel that they don't see how they're creating their own. You're creating so many devils and demons, you could really use that creative power for something constructive. Anyway, BJ, do you know how to do that? Oh, all right. Go ahead and start. Start me some music. Everybody, please put both feet on the floor. Sit up straight. I think everybody knows what we're doing here. If you don't, just do it. It'll be over in a few minutes. Sit up as straight as you can. Nothing in your lap. Both feet on the floor. Might want to close your eyes. We're going to start with some breathing. We'll start with some meditating on what I just talked about, and then we'll wean off of that. You're going to breathe in through your nose. Hold it. Exhale through your mouth. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Don't compare yourself with anybody else, but I find I get there in about the third or fourth breath now. It's just like, I already feel different. I feel relaxed. It's important to sit up straight, and you don't have to be in a lotus position. You just have to be symmetrical. You have to be, it's kind of like you're feng shui for your body, like sit up straight and so that energy just flows through you. I already feel this word. I'm just going to say it while you have your eyes closed. For some of you, your body's been trying to heal itself, and the healing power has been held up. This releases it. Like, release it through meditation, the healing. Well, like we talked about, as your soul prospers, I call forth the power of your soul to heal your body. In my own case, I feel healing going into my foot. I'm going to be completely free of this thing. While you're breathing, your cells are doing self-renewal. Think about that. Your cells are being renewed. What a beautiful thought. Fresh cells, new cells, young cells, healthy cells. Life is in the cells of your body. I'm going to start weaning you off of my voice, and you just go into your own meditation. Your own quiet place. Paul talked about being seated with him in heavenly places. For me, this is a heavenly place. This is heaven. Concentrate on your breathing. Stay consistent in your breathing. Energy is flowing through your body. Health is alive in your body. You are well. You are whole. All that life and energy that's being held in the subconscious realm, let it be released now. Whether you call it the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead or Zoe life, whatever your terminology, whatever you can attach belief to, whatever you can know, knowing is higher than belief. Know that you're alive. Know that you're well. Know that you're at peace. aware of your breathing. Keep breathing. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. In a minute, I want you to start coming out of the meditative state. Don't come all the way into full consciousness. But I want you, while you start to come out of it, I want you to think of a name, whatever the first name that came to you, of somebody that you know, somebody that you love. I want you to remember that name. And I want you to somehow, in some way, through a message, through a hug, through a something, I want you to translate it to them. If it's somebody here in this room, I want you to go to them and do it directly. Ask their permission first. Not everybody wants their space invaded. So ask them if it's okay. And if it is, just touch them somewhere and just say, I just release energy to you. Or you can call it healing or whatever. If it's somebody that's not here physically, you can reach them later through a phone call or a text or something. But very slowly, I want you to stand. Stay. Everybody, just start coming out of it and let's stand. And if the name of the person that came to you is here, make your way to them. While the music's still going, incorporate this into It didn't have to be any big dramatic thing. It's just a point of contact. Go to that person, maybe just say, excuse me. And just make the connection with somebody. I feel like meditation is moving us in this direction. So give that energy to somebody. Give that touch to somebody. If you didn't think of a name, then don't try to orchestrate it. Just go with the flow. Peace, strength, health, life, energy, happiness, blessings, abundance, prosperity, peace of mind, love, reconciliation, forgiveness, rest, laughter, unity, wellness, wholeness, flow, awareness, consciousness, excellence, order, ability, calmness, restoration, revelation, enlightenment, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, comprehension. Direction, vision, dreams, good energy. I always love the way your faces look when it's over. You look sweet and innocent and a little drunk. Give somebody a hug, and let's, while the music plays out, let's bring the lights back up. And just remain standing. You know what? I think I don't want to break the flow of this. I'm just going to dismiss you. With the music playing, I want you to leave in this energy, all right? Have a beautiful week. I'll see you next week. I love you very much. Don't forget to give. Give online. If you have cash, pay it forward. Or you might want to bless Alex with it. Go out in peace.